Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams.
And Elizabeth Wallace. And you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 415. And tonight, we're recapping Welcome to Night Vale, episode 250, Father Kevin, which also happens to be the 12-year anniversary episode of Night Vale.
And rather appropriately, I do believe it dropped on Father's Day, right?
Oh, I think it might have, actually. Yes, either that or the day before, maybe?
Yeah, this is a nice little combination there. That must have been on purpose.
Had to have been. Anyway, this is a continuation of Mother Lauren having taken over Night Vale, and a lot of it is just horrific images of how she's absorbed Night Vale, and like her tentacles are everywhere, and buildings are pulsing, and people are attached by tentacles with spongy faces. It's really awful.
Yeah, it's very Lovecraftian. I think City Council has turned into a giant tongue, and the radio station is made entirely out of fingernails. And through all of this, young Kevin is holding on to Mother Lauren's hands and looks like he's focusing really, really hard on whatever it is that they're doing to the town.
Yeah. And Cecil, there's kind of like this moment where he's sort of talking, almost like he's talking in Mother Lauren's voice, but then he kind of breaks free. And so we realize that Cecil isn't completely brainwashed. He does sort of exist on two levels. He talks about how the last time Mother Lauren was here, she was a representative of Strex Corp. But this time is different. She's not trying to make Night Vale into another Desert Bluffs. She's trying to make Night Vale part of her own body.
And she thinks it's all too easy at this point. I mean, it's been effortless for her. But fortunately, there is a plan. The Library Tweens are going to stage an attack, and they're going to use, like, grappling hooks and ropes to get all the way across the city over the faceless drones that she's turned everybody into, and they need Cecil to provide a distraction, which he is thinking about this, and he has a plan for the perfect distraction. Hey, look over there, which I thought that was where they were going to leave it, but you hear footsteps and, you know, with a little stereo thing moving from one ear to another, very creepy, and then just like, it's probably one of my favorite parts of the episode. It's all of these sounds going on in the background, like footsteps and then crashing noises and sirens and dogs and an air raid siren. And just, you know, I like that sort of immersive thing, especially when there's nothing being explained.
Because we hear this heavy breathing and someone runs up and Cecil's like, okay, sorry, we'll see if that works. That was the distraction.
That was the distraction.
Thing,
yep.
The whole thing there. And it really was very cool. I mean, I really recommend you go back, anybody who hasn't listened to the episode yet, you're right, it's one of my favorite parts of the whole episode.
But unfortunately, it appears that Mother Lauren somehow managed to catch wind of the plan, and I'm still sitting here thinking the whole time, maybe because you were announcing it on the radio, Cecil?
God.
They never actually addressed that, though, so it's not really made obvious whether that was what was happening, but it was what I was questioning the whole time.
Me too, yeah. But she does a lot of yelling, like, I am the universe itself, and to fight me is to fight the something of existence, whatever. And in all of that, the Library Tweens have been grabbed by these kind of like pieces of Mother Lauren that used to be Night Vale people, and they get thrown into a cell. And the whole time, the boy has turned to look at Mother Lauren, and something comes over him.
Yeah, and he somehow manages to resist, and he pulls out a knife and stabs her in the thigh. But all that does is she just uses her tentacles to absorb him back into her skin.
Yeah. And Cecil is narrating all this while it happens and said, this is the moment of greatest despair. We aren't just defeated, we're changed. And out of the crowd comes Kevin, older Kevin, and he's approaching the podium and he's looking at the town and at the radio station. Like you said, the radio station made of toenails. And he turns and looks at the boy, the younger version of himself, and he smiles. And in the town, there's silence, but somewhere there's thunder. Somewhere there's snow. Somewhere far away, weather. And then we go to the weather.
Always a new transition. I love it.
Yep. The weather was Cutting Teeth by Priscilla Snow, which I thought that was funny.
It was a great combination of both of those things, yes. Especially with the teeth.
It was folk with cool chord progressions halfway through, is how I describe it.
Yeah, very soft singing with kind of a rain sound effect in the background and guitar music. It was nice.
It was pleasant. Okay, so we come back from the weather, and Cecil, it's kind of like, I guess they call it lamp shading, where he acknowledges the fact that at this point, normally what he would do is we would have this catastrophic moment. We would go to the weather report, which he calls it, and when we come back, everything had been resolved. He says that some people think that the weather fixes the problem. He says that's not the case. The weather usually just happens at the same time as what does fix the problem, but this time, that's not the case.
So Kevin is still there, still smiling. And Cecil had mentioned that Kevin was smiling in triumph. So he still does seem to think that Kevin, older Kevin, is not on Night Vale's side. But Kevin reaches out and takes the hand of younger Kevin and gently untangles him. Mother Lauren doesn't seem to notice that happening. And he starts talking to him, and he said, "The last time I was here, I said this wasn't a situation I could resolve by myself, but that's not true. All I need is myself, but I need more than one of myself."
Yeah. Now the boy's looking at him at this point, and the boy has, you know, after being absorbed into Mother Lauren for a while, he doesn't recognize Kevin anymore. He's just kind of staring straight forward, and Kevin's like, "That's okay, I remember enough for both of us." Kevin talks about his own father, and how he hasn't ever really mentioned him much before, how his father had priorities that he didn't understand, but he said, "I think he did the best job that he could, and in this moment, I understand him better than anyone has ever understood their own father."
And he talks to the young Kevin, who still doesn't know who he is. And Kevin says, "Your name is Kevin, and I am your father." And that's okay. We don't know if he's adopting him. They're both still the same person, technically.
Yeah. But it sounds like Kevin, I don't know, that this may be a circle, that maybe this has happened before.
Ooh, boy,
that the older Kevin, was raised by somebody who said that it was him, so maybe he exists in like a circular existence. I don't know, but he looks up at Mother Lauren, and she's finally looking down at him, and she says something like, "I thought I was through with you." And then we hear the voices say, "You were wrong, and dead wrong, and it's the library tweens!"
Yay!
And they all come out, and it's all very triumphant, and she says, "I thought you were in jail," and they said, "We were, but this nice old lady busted us out."
Tamika Flynn says, "I'm not old, I'm in my 20s.
So she's disgusted, but she looks happy to be part of an adventure again. And they all together, all of them, the two Kevins and the library tweens and Tamika, they're saying, you know, "The point is, you're going to have to stand against us." And Mother Lauren laughs, and she swats a tentacle at Kevin. And the older Kevin dodges, and no matter what she does, she can't connect with him. And the little kind of like spongy parts of herself that were kind of acting on her behalf, they slowly, their human faces start to come out. They actually are breaking free from her control.
And she can't understand this. She says, "I am a god." And Kevin says, "Yes, and like all gods, you were defined by the beliefs of your worshipers." So now Night Vale is no longer, I guess, able to sustain her god mode somehow.
I don't know, but she says, "Yep, okay, screw it." And she says, "The universe was getting too small for me." She floats into the sky, steps through a doorway in the stars, and looks back and says, "One day I will return, or I won't. TBD." And then she's gone.
And then just a little bit of a wrap up at the end. Kevin and Kevin walk hand in hand through the portal to the desert otherworld, and Carlos unplugs the portal because he's decided that science really does need to be in service of something. It's not a goal as of itself. And also that there was a really cool noise when the Kevin stepped through the portal that I think he wants to try to recreate.
Yeah. And the library tweens have said that they're going to start a new teen militia. And Tamika, who has, you know, had a lot of experience in teen militias, offers to be a mentor. And they basically put on a statement saying, "Oh, that's okay. Thanks, ma'am." And I'm like, oh, they're just being mean now. Wow.
And that's just a lovely little thing with Cecil looking out and able to see all the different things in Night Vale now as they're happening. I think he even mentions the strange van that was driven around by the man who is not tall and the man who is not short. And couple little neat little callbacks.
Yeah. He said it's a town that's gone back to normal, a town that's been through a lot, but remained very much itself, and he loves it. And he says, "Good night, my favorite town. Good night." That's the end.
That's the end. Yep. That was a long episode, actually, but it was just like a lot of battling. So it took a little while for them to describe everything.
Yeah. I really did like that weird distraction that he did.
That was very well done.
Listen to it with earphones on, because you got to hear as it goes back and forth between your ears.
Yeah. Some of it reminded me a little bit of the creepier Monty Python animations when you have sound effects and odd things happening.
Yeah. I was actually thinking Danger Mouse is the Dream Machine.
Yes, exactly. Same kind of theme there. That sort of weird British surreality that I just don't think anyone else can manage.
Nope, I don't think so either. It's a nice 12 years. My goodness.
Can you believe it? Oh my God. I can still picture the desk I was sitting at work when I was first listening to these episodes.
Me too. When I was like looking at the computer, basically, when they said, you know, and now the weather and a song starts, I'm like, what the hell is this? And the second week that it did it, I'm like, oh, it's a thing. So that's fun.
So only thing that's been going on with me this week is I think I've watched 7 episodes now of the first season of Mayor of Kingstown. Really enjoying it. I mean, violent. Like the whole bit about nobody being safe. I mean, something happened at the end of, I think, episode 6. And I was like, they killed all of them?
Yeah. Oh, man, ain't nobody safe on this show. And every time you think they're setting something up to go on for a long time, it's almost like, I don't know, in some ways it's almost like they didn't think they were going to get a second season. So they're just like, we don't have to keep them around. Let's just, you know, whatever. You know?
I haven't been checking the news articles, but of course Google keeps showing me the headlines about Mayor of Kingstown. And there was one where Jeremy Renner said that, yes, he's absolutely open to doing more seasons of Mayor of Kingstown, but he has to make sure he survives this season, which I didn't check the article, I didn't know if he was talking about his character or himself, since things tend to happen. But, you know, hopefully he was talking about his character.
Yeah, I completely forgot the latest episode of the 3rd season dropped yesterday, and I haven't watched it yet. I know what I'm watching tonight. But yeah, I want to say it's the 9th and 10th episodes where there's, anyway, can't say anything. We'll of course talk about it on a future episode.
Of course, yes. At this rate, I'll probably be done by next week. And we might even be in the same time zone in time to record an episode. So yeah.
Might be. But, man, stuff. Wow. But I guess that's going to wrap us up for the week. Short episode this week because just not a lot happening, you know? I'm going to be changing jobs soon. And by changing, I mean my old job is ending and I don't know what my new job is going to be.
You'll be fine. That's always fun. You'll absolutely be fine. Yeah, you've got so much experience in graphic design.
Let's keep your fingers crossed. But anyway, on the site, though, you know, Hugh, of course, writing lots of reviews. He's really liked a lot of the stuff he's seen recently. He's got another one coming out. So really, if you're a big movie watcher and like the brand new stuff that's coming out, almost positive that Hugh will have reviewed it. So make sure to check out all that and more at pixelatedgeek.com. So next week, no Night Vale episode. Also, no Laura Lynn.
We still haven't done that Laura Lippis fan art post, so we might do that. But also, they've already taken Furiosa out of the theaters, which is just. So now I'm losing my excuse to go see it at this point. I'm just going to have to sign up for whatever streaming service is going to be flogging it, because apparently that's how we're doing movies nowadays.
I suppose. Same with Fall Guy. I didn't see Fall Guy before I left the theater.
No.
Like, man, you guys. God. Well, anyway. We'll talk about one of those things. Oh, my God. One way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later. And I think, I can't remember, sorry, what was the next thing I said? I didn't write
okay.
that down.
Okay, that's right. I thought I was through with you.